Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, if you felt a breeze come blowing through, wherever you went yesterday, like here in Ohio, it was really, really hot, but it cooled down last night. In fact, it's got, you know, we got really, really mild temperatures this morning. It's going to be really, really hot this weekend. Don't get your hopes up. But if you felt a really cool breeze come flying through, it was a sigh of relief for me. That's right. Sigh of relief for me. Thank God for small victories or small whatevers or little things that come to in your way that I was scheduled today. What is today? Wednesday. I was going to leave this evening for Charlotte, North Carolina. I have to be part, had to be part of a ongoing legal in Charlotte. I had to go testify and I didn't know how I was going to do it because, you know, I got this massive thing going on here. By the way, thank you for the male erect penises. I got about five more yesterday. Thank you very much, boys, that are sending them out there. And anyway, we got this great event coming on here this weekend and a lot of work and planning and stuff to get done on it. And I'm thinking, Lord, how can I do that? How can I go to North Carolina? But I want to be faithful, said I would show up. And, you know, Michelle's been praying. I got a spider. Michelle's been. So anyway, yesterday I heard from the attorneys because of COVID and a lot of different reasons I don't have to go to North Carolina. And then yesterday morning, I went up to begin to kind of clean up and prepare for this weekend and get some things in order. And I looked down over the hill where Bob Evans has his, when he came through on last weekend, he parked his camper to get ready for the weekend. And I walked out on the deck up at Sky High. Those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, bear with me a second. If you come this weekend, you'll understand. I walked out on the deck and I looked down at the camper and I thought, what's that? What's that in front of Bob's camper down there? I looked. It was Bob. It was Bob and Tammy. Bob and Tammy came rolling in yesterday with a set of lawnmowers and unbelievable stuff just to help kind of clean up, get the grounds ready. And so, man, thank God for Bob and Tammy and their willingness to serve and be part of it. And they camped last night. First campers ever at Sky High, Bob and Tammy. So God bless them. More people starting to roll in today, I would assume. I heard from folks say, can I come in a day early and set up my camper and yada, yada, yada. So we're all excited, man. A lot of great stuff. We're going to have a great, great crowd, great, great fellowship. And those of you who can't make it, just pray that you would pray for us. And that we continue to do what it tells us in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. Maybe you can pull that up there real quick, Sheldon. I'm sorry, man. Didn't give you. Well, Sheldon's getting out of up there. Hebrews 10, Sheldon. Hebrews 10. making some notes here. Hey, a couple things. Good news. I asked real quickly yesterday to pray for Serge. You know, I talked to Serge yesterday. Serge, it was 2 days ago. Serge just having some medical issues, and he was looking forward to coming down here and being part of what was going to go on, and he can't. Physically, he just can't do it. And I heard the disappointment in Serge's voice. Just pray that you just continue to lift him up. It's not life-threatening or anything like that. Everything's life-threatening. Living today is life-threatening, but Serge just needs encouragement. So bless you, Serge. Mike Heath got a job. I don't know if I'm supposed to tell you that. Thank God Mike Heath got a job, and Mike's coming this weekend as well, and just thank God that the Lord provides Bob and Tim. Pastor Mike Spaulding, go ye therefore conference. Man, I've been dropping the ball on that. That's coming up here in a couple weeks. And it's all virtual. There's no attendance. But Mike's having a powerful go ye therefore conference that you can register for online. A lot of fabulous, fabulous speakers. And I'm sure Mike needs his support. I just know that he does.
And I just pray that you would go to goyethereforeconference.com, goyethereforeconference.com, and support what it is Mike Spalding's doing. Randall Terry is going to be in town. Local folks, July 21st. That's next. I don't even know what day that would be. It's next Tuesday and Wednesday. I'm going to gather with him. And as you heard yesterday on the show, if I get 100 people there, he's going to give me $100. So we're going to, he's going to do an event at a Holiday Inn hotel. On, can't get churches to open the doors, right? They can't get churches to open the doors. So they've rented a conference room at a Holiday Inn. If you want my information, get a hold of me. And then the next day, the 22nd, I'm going to go out on the street. And so I'm going to be part of it. Where's that bug? Get out of here, bug. I'm going to be part of it. Love for you to be part of it as well. That's July 21st, 22nd, yada, yada, yada. Boom. Bobby Lee's got another event coming up. Just a lot going on. That stuff's all at our website. And I'm sure I'm forgetting somebody else. So what did I ask Jared to pull up, or Sheldon to pull up? I asked him to pull up Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. It's not about sacrifice. Obedience is better than sacrifice, the word says. So scroll on down. It talks about sacrifice. Go down to 10, about 20, Sheldon. In 10:20, it says, now, verse 18. No. Having, 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near, talking to me and you, with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Well, we need that today, don't we? Don't we need that today? The profession of our faith without wavering. For he that is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. See, good works, that's not a bad word, boys and girls. You don't work your way into heaven, but good works is not a bad word. Our love and faithfulness to Christ is to provoke us unto love and provoke one another to do good things. Do good things. How? By not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as we see the day approaching. Wow, that's a powerful verse right there, boys. For if we sin willfully after that we've received the knowledge of truth, look at this. This will preach. If you sin willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for your sins. Wow. But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. I could go on and on and on. So we're forsaking ourselves together, provoking one another's to love and to good works. We're excited for what's going on this weekend. I'm going to shut up a minute. Any response yesterday to Randall Terry or anything, any news, anything on anybody's heart? Come on in.
Well, just about something you just read and said. You know, we don't work our way to heaven. We obey our way to heaven.
Yeah, well said, man. Well said. But good works is obedience, is it not, friends? Is it not? And that's what Randall Terry really was speaking about the whole time, is good works. When we bring a sacrifice. I remember that old song we used to sing in church. We bring a sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. But listen, I want to upset all the tables if I can. If you think it's all required of you is to go to church and lift your arms and sing praise and worship, that's your sacrifice. That you coming into the church and praising the Lord, that's a sacrifice. You really believe that? Huh? Let everything that has voice praise the Lord. The rocks cry out.
If your sacrifice to the Lord is simply singing songs and basking in his presence, you got it upside down. The Lord said, don't bring me anything. I wish I knew where that scripture was. That costs you nothing. If your sacrifice did not cost you something, it's not a sacrifice. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service.
I like what it says in Ephesians 2 also. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works.
Amen,
which
brother.
God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them.
Hey, Glenn, it's like me if I'm putting together a football team and spend all off-season teaching those guys, you know, we're bench pressing and squatting and working out. I'm doing everything I can, Glenn. I expect some results, man. I expect some good works at the end of what we've trained them to do.
Amen.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, Jeff.
Just to let everybody know, Ohio Brett is coming to the car lot tonight at 7.
Awesome.
So we're getting some guys together. And then you guys said you got your thing this weekend and Randall Terry next Tuesday. Well, we also are going next Saturday, Friday and Saturday to St. Louis, Missouri for the attorneys, the husband, wife, the guns out there. You see where they're going to indict them now? They're going to try and indict them. Last night they said.
Yeah, we got a wicked, wicked government. Wicked government.
Pastor Bill was on the phone yesterday for probably at least a half hour, maybe an hour. Guess who's going with us to St. Louis, Missouri? Our good old buddy, Pastor Flip Benham. He's sounding the trumpet out there. He's getting guys to meet us. So Craig said yesterday he's going to put it out down there. He's got a group of about 10 that'll probably meet us up there. So we'll hopefully draw a good crowd. We want to do that. Her house Saturday morning, the prosecuting attorney. And then Flip said he wants to do a church service at her house Sunday morning. So you know how Flip does. It's going to be good.
Provoking one another to love and to good works. Provoking love and one. Listen, okay, I heard it, Lord. Holy Spirit told me right now, Sheldon, go to Glenn Beck. Go to Glenn Beck. You know, I thought one of the most impactful things, I thought about it all day, actually. I asked Randall Terry yesterday, how do we breach this Protestant Catholic divide? I see it every time I go to the abortion clinic. Can we admit it? There's a tension there. And you say, well, Coach, of course there's a tension there. Roman Catholics aren't really Christians, or that would be what the argument would be. And Randall Terry said something yesterday I thought was really, really profound. If your baby was drowning, would you care the denomination or the religious beliefs of those who are rescuing your baby? I thought about it all day. And thought about how religiously pure we are. When Jesus said, Dale Social, maybe he's in there. Somebody who can Google search for me real quickly. When they came to Jesus and they said to him, Lord, they're casting out devils in our name and they're not even part of us. Does anybody know where that is? They said, Jesus, they're at the abortion clinic rescuing babies and they're Catholics. Jesus, they're at the abortion clinic and they're Mormons. Jesus, they're at the...
You Mark 9:38.
Yeah. Where is that, Dale?
Mark 9:38.
Yeah, hey, Coach. You know, Jesus, it's recorded twice in the gospel, Jesus' response to that situation. One is where Dale just sent you. And one of them says, if they're not for us, they're against us. The other time that story is recorded in the gospel, the answer, Jesus' response was, if they're not against us, they're for us. Mm. Now, those sound like two opposite things. But in reality, they both say the exact same thing. They say there's two sides, for us and against us.
Amen. Matthew 9:38.
Well, I don't think there's a problem of unifying them on cultural issues.
Right.
But the problem is on the salvation message. And that's right. Where you cannot give ground.
That's right.
And usually what happens is is when the evangelicals go broad and unify, it's the evangelicals who are always caving on the salvation message.
It is.
You know, Dave, you know, I'm not a Catholic basher, but by golly, there's some problems in their doctrine. And I don't have a problem working with them on cultural issues, but we can't give ground on the cross.
You know, Roger, Randall Terry, you know, converted to Catholicism. And one of the things that was powerful about him yesterday, he was an evangelifish and then he converted to Catholicism, and he's a Catholic who knows the Bible. I'm sorry, folks. I think that's very rare. I think it's very, very rare. And I was just struck by that. Are we in Matthew 9? I'm not trying to start a race war here. I'm not trying to start a religious war, okay? And verse 9, I got it here in my scripture. Go where it says, read full chapter, Sheldon, because I'm going to have to read the scripture before that. There you go. And then scroll on down. Thank you. It's about 37, 36 to 37. And he took a child and John answered him, says, Master, we were out at the abortion clinic and those Catholics were out there praying the rosary. And they're not like us. And they don't really follow you. They have a bunch of doctrines I don't agree with. And they're out there. They're casting out devils and they're not one of us. And Jesus answered and said, Master, I'm sorry. I lost my place. And Jesus answered him saying, Master, and John answered him. I must be on drugs this morning. And John answered him saying, Master, we saw one casting out devils in your name and they didn't follow us. And we told him, stop it, because they wasn't part of our group. And Jesus forbade him not. That's what he said. He said, stop it, boys. For there's no man which shall do miracles in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. Because he that's not against us is on our part. He's not against us, of course.
Yeah. What's the enemy of the enemy is my friend.
The enemy?
That's exactly what that says. The enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Amen. Amen. I'm going to tell you this. When I go to the abortion clinic, it's not so bad in Columbus, Planned Parenthood. It's a good group of folks there. But a lot of abortion clinics I go to, there's great division even at the abortion clinics. The Catholics are over there saying the rosary, and evangelifish are over holding signs. Michelle can testify to that, and they don't even get along. And how does the Lord bless that mess? Anyway, I started talking about that because Glenn Beck yesterday, who is a Mormon, okay, he's a Mormon. I don't think Mormons are saved. Sorry, I don't think they're saved. But Sheldon, the church is in trouble, Glenn Beck said yesterday. And I've sitting there, you can watch more of this on your own. But I want you to start, Sheldon, about the 4 minute and 30 second mark to what Glenn Beck said. No, I'm not a follower of Glenn Beck. In fact, I've had a lot of problems with Glenn Beck because he switched teams in my mind. He was Ted Cruz. He was an anti-Trumper, all of it. But he's come around, and he was like so many of those guys. I said, if they lead us wrong on these big issues, who we ought to be as president of the United States? How can we trust him on some of the smaller issues? But starting about the 4:30 mark here, Sheldon, maybe you can put it on time and a half, and let's listen to what Glenn Beck said. I told my wife, I think Glenn Beck's watching Coach Dave live. Go ahead and play it.
Our pulpits, quite honestly, should be offending us all the time. Have you looked at the state of our society? The reason why we're in this is because the pulpits decided they needed to keep members in their seats. They needed to keep the tithing continuing to come in. And so they got softer and softer and softer. Well, what was making people leave their seats is, I can get much of this garbage that you hear from our pulpits every Sunday. I can get that anywhere. I want to know how do I live my life in today's complex world? What is happening to our world? What's causing these things? And it's not very hard. I don't have a degree in theology, but I feel like I do compared to most of the preachers and the pastors and the priests that I hear preaching all around the country. What's the solution? The Ten Commandments, the Golden Rule. What's the solution against Marxism? Thou shalt not covet. So the bishop in Indiana has decided that he is going to suspend him and to make sure that he is not a part of that parish anymore. When he said what he said, others came out to support him. Retired NFL player Marcellus. Do you know who Marcellus Wiley is, Stu?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Who did he play for? What is he?
Are you playing the clip of him on? He's kind of an analyst now.
Yeah, his video.
Yeah.
No, his video where he talked about, you know, this is divisive identity politics.
Yeah, he was a player on defense. I can't remember the exact position, okay. but yeah.
So have you seen the video where he was saying about Black Lives Matter? He minister are being considered, but he'll no longer be assigned as a pastor of Our Lady of Mount Carmel as his next appointment. So they're getting rid of him. They're putting him in the closet. For the love of Pete, what is happening with the Catholic Church? Now, the Pope, yesterday, he was speaking against China and Hong Kong. And he passes out a speech where he's going to talk about this. And he passes it out. And the only reason why we know this is true is because somebody violated the embargo, which if you get a speech in advance and you're in the press, you have an embargo on it. You're never supposed to release what was in it unless, you know, until the speech is given. Well, somebody violated that and said he's talking about Hong Kong and he's saying, you know, this is evil, what they're doing. And I hope that they are reconsidering and blah, blah, blah. Well, he took all of that out. And now we're wondering why did China object? What's happening with the Pope and China? They speak out against America. He speaks out against America, but he won't speak out against China. Catholics, you are about to completely lose your church. You need to stand up.
So listen, folks, say what you want to about Glenn Beck. Can you imagine Rush Limbaugh saying anything like this? Michael Savage, can you imagine? So say what you will about Glenn Beck. I believe he's got his thumb right on the pulse, and he's pressing hard that the problems in America is the church. It's not the Republican Party. It's the church. It's our church leader. We here in Ohio, Michael DeWine, our beloved governor, is having another press conference, big press conference today. And you know what people think is going to happen? Another lockdown coming. That's what they think, see? Go to Romans 1, Sheldon. Bear with me a second, folks. Romans 1, because I'm going to show you what's going on. Romans 1, beginning in about verse 20. Go on down there. Go right there. Let's go 24. For this cause, God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use to that which is against nature. The church is accepting homosexuality. Homosexuality would not be in America if the church had held the line. Keep going. You did. I'm sorry. For this cause, God gave them up the vile affections, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman. They burned in their lust toward one another. That's why I get penises in my email every day. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of the error, which was meat. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to those things which were not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignant whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. Oh, I'd like to just camp right there. Inventor of evil things. That about sums it up, doesn't it? Then about sum it up. Not only do we now have inventors of evil things, we have courts endorsing the invention of evil things. It's all around us, folks. And as I told you, or have said, I've tried to help you understand, this is the judgment of God. This is it. It's not coming. This is it. Inventors of evil things. Mark Harrington told me, let's click on this real quick, Sheldon. The pill through the mail. Did you guys know this? Mark Harrington made me aware of this. These are inventors of evil things. This is the Huffington Post. Women can now get the abortion pill through the mail. Don't even have to go to the doctor. You can get it through the mail. So not only did they not close down the abortion clinics, they circumvented the law so that women who could not get to a doctor now can get it through the mail. Who did that? Inventors of evil things, folks. It's all around us. And the church isn't smart enough to understand what these things are and how they're associated. Your daughter, you right now, can get a pill through the mail to kill your grandchild. Inventors of evil things. That's what we're dealing with. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. Somebody come in there and make me feel good for a minute. 7:26 already.
Coach, we're dealing with sadness. They do nothing but evil. They have nothing but evil thoughts, and all they want is our destruction and our subjugation. That's the bottom line.
Vinny,
after our children.
Vinny, we're complicit. Hey, Sheldon, go back to Romans 1. Folks, we are complicit. I'm sorry.
Amen, brother.
You say, Coach, you say the same thing every day. I'm sorry.
Never hear that from me, brother.
Who knowing the judgment of God, verse 32, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. That's in the Bible. Those who do those things that we just read about, they are worthy of death. The Apostle Paul saying, death would be too good for them, almost.
Amen.
Then he says, knowing that those who do that are worthy of death, the rest of us not only do the same, but we have gay pride parades.
Right. Hey, Coach.
And we let them get pills through the mail.
Coach, evil would not exist if so-called good people didn't allow it to persist. It wouldn't exist if they did not just wave it by.
We are the restrainer. The Holy Spirit in us is the restrainer. Somebody else, come on in.
Yeah, I don't know if this is not piling on and going to make you feel better. Probably won't. Probably won't. But here's the reality of the abortion issue. They could close every Planned Parenthood tomorrow, and we will not have one because of the morning after pill.
They've just moved on, Larry. They're inventors of evil things. Inventors. They made up gay marriage. They invented that. They made up abortion. Not only did they make it up, they made up other ways to made up, I guess we could say they made up, gene splicing. They made up selective genetics for birth. They made all that up. Now, wait a minute. I understand. They said, Coach, you say, Coach, that's Nephilim technology. I understand. I get that. But they took that Nephilim technology and they're applying it to where we are right now. I say, well, Coach, I don't believe in the Nephilim. Well, sorry. That explains a lot. It explains a lot about the way you think. So, well, my pastor never talks about that. Yeah, probably ought to find a new pastor. I'd say about time to find a new one. Oh, I'm feeling it today, boy. Feeling it because this evil is all around us.
Feel it, brother. It's here. And we got to do something about it.
Amen. Amen.
Coach.
Amen. Yes.
Is this Friday the day Mark Harrington's getting together at Founders?
Yes, I believe it is.
Do you know what time?
I think it's noon. Folks, Founders, the abortion clinic in Columbus, Ohio, was the first abortion clinic in the state of Ohio. They called it Founders. And it's been killing babies since 1973, one of the original ones. Well, it's closed. Absolutely. It's changed hands and ownership, and they went to the pill only and trying to make their way through it. Well, they're closed. Never, they're closed. So there's a victory celebration. They're going to spike the football, Mark Harrington. So no, they're not going to do that. No, they're not going to go full of pride, but they're going to go and have an acknowledgement that God was faithful and shut that death mill down after 40 some years. I think that's Friday at noon. I haven't said much about it, Jeff, because I'm so tied up over here. I hate to promote things I can't support. I support it. I hate to promote things I can't be part of. But that's going on. There's also a thing at the State House going on Saturday, and another the same one. telling the governor to open up 6 weeks later. We're still telling him to open up. Right? Yeah, they really listened to us on that. Okay, hang on. Hang on. I feel somebody. Come on in.
I want to go back to the beginning, Coach, when you open up the show. What, you know, what Terry Randall talked about yesterday, that, you know, if my child was drowning, that's exactly it. We're not asking for credentials. We're not even asking if you got a life-saving lifeguard credential. We're just asking for help. So out at the clinic, being out there nearly, golly, 30 years now, you know, and there's Catholics out there, and man, I fellowship with them great. But every once in a while, you will get, you know, these standoff Catholics, and they want to come over and tell me how to do it. And one of the guys out there, and he's just fantastic. He loves my signs. And he looks over and he goes, don't even go there because you don't know what the heck you're talking about. And he's a Catholic. He rebukes them. And so, you know, the problem is listen, when you're in a foxhole, it doesn't matter whether you're with an atheist or with a believer. Does he got your back? And the problem is we shoot each other with our friendly fire. You know, when we did the feedings up in Springfield in Texas, you know, I would, you know, put my post out there. People go, yeah, but I bet you're not giving meals to the homosexuals. I said, I'm sorry, we're not asking for anybody's credentials when they're coming through there. I don't know if they're murderers or they're druggies or they're gang rapers or what they're doing. If they're hungry, we gave them meals. And so when we're out at the clinic, that's exactly it. Laser focus. Babies are dying. What Amen. Are you doing about it?
Dale, anybody who's ever gone to the clinic with me, when I'm leading a group to the clinic, I always gather them or try to, be careful you say always, right? I try to gather around them and I always lay down some ground rules. And some of the ground rules that I lay down is never criticize the way someone is ministering at the clinic while they are doing it. How do you ever, I've had people say to me before, friends say to me, Coach, you were just too harsh. You're just too harsh. And I'm not going to go if you're going to be harsh like that. And I would just step back and say, well, you know what? What if the Holy Spirit told me to be harsh? You didn't like it? It made you feel uncomfortable? Well, sorry. I wasn't doing it for you. I'm trying to pierce the heart of that woman that's going in there to kill her baby. And I don't know about you. I don't know if there's anything too harsh that can be said to her as she goes in to kill her baby. So one of the rules that we make is, I try to make is, if somebody says something that you find uncomfortable, that's not the place to argue about it.
That's it. John Schneider of Papa John's, who I know personally, one of the reasons why Papa John's soared, this was his one line, and this is the same thing. He says, keep the main thing the main thing. In other words, the focus, our focus, and exactly what you just said, because what that does then, it gets our focus off from the clinic, and it gets it on each other. Mm-hmm. And we've missed the ministry because you've seen it out there. More people are out there fighting amongst themselves at the abortion clinic.
That's right.
While the baby
whether you should use signs, bloody signs, whether or not you should. We're out there trying to end abortion, arguing with each other over the techniques.
If the pedophile is your next door neighbor, do you knock nicely on the door or do you Rambo the door? you get the kid out of there. It doesn't matter what the means are and how you do it. Get the kid out of that house.
2 Timothy chapter 4, Sheldon, please. 2 Timothy chapter 4, I believe it is. I charge ye, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, reprove. Does anybody like to be reproved? Rebuke. Does anybody like to be rebuked?
Yes.
And exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Doesn't say love. Doesn't say love them. Doesn't say encourage them. Sometimes yes, but sometimes no, right? Preach the word. Be instant in season out of reprove, rebuke, exhort, and by all means, let them know how much Jesus loves them. That's not what it says, friends. See, there are different ways to minister in different situations. And we have to give our brothers the liberty to be able to do it. Why? For the time will come when those going in there won't endure that love doctrine. They ain't going to endure that. So they're after their own. I'm talking about those standing beside me on the sidewalk who believe deeply in the love doctrine. And they don't like it when I say something mean or harsh to you. You guys understand what I'm saying? Say, listen, you think I'm harsh? Well, you don't have to say it. Just stand there and shut your mouth. Holy Spirit told me to say it, and I'm going to say it because I don't know what's in that person's heart. And I'm sure not going to tell them, sorry, how much Jesus loves them as they go in to murder their baby. Does anybody else think that's kind of an abomination? They're going in to commit murder, and we're telling them on their way in to do the murder how much Jesus loves them. Anybody see a conflict there? How about Jesus loves that little baby you have inside you? Jesus loves your little children.
Amen. Life begins at conception. Freaks.
That's right. Take a deep breath. Go to coins, Sheldon. Did you guys see this? Just trying to make you aware of it. Coins down at the bottom. They're setting us up again. No coins. Now you go to Kroger's, at least here at Kroger's in Ohio. I tested it out. I got to tell you this story here in a minute. Go to Kroger's, and what do you find? Kroger stops giving change in coins. They tell us there's not enough coins. So you go and you pay your bill's $4.72, and they don't give you back 28 cents. They keep it. They say, well, we're going to give it to charity. What charity? Oh, the one we choose. So you're going to steal my money from me and you're going to give it to the charity because we don't have any coins. So I went in the other day with a roll of quarters, $10 roll of quarters. And I tried to pay with a $10 roll of quarters. You know what they told me? Yeah, you know what they told me? They're not accepting coins. I mean, it was like what? What? Yeah, there's a coin shortage. I said, I know there's a coin shortage. I'm giving you $10 worth of them.
No, they're trying for a cashless society, Coach.
That's where it's heading, Vinny. It's quarters today. It'll be dollars tomorrow.
Hey, Coach, did you see the video of that pastor from back in December talked about that?
I don't think I did.
Okay, I'll send it to you. It's only about 10, 15 minutes long. It's pretty good.
So, again, folks, come on. Open your eyes and see what's going on around us. Can I tell you something? I've become more and more convinced of this. I'm not a financial guru. Okay, I'm not. Money is meaningless. Our government is telling us money is meaningless. They're printing it. They're handing it out. They're giving it to us. Why? Because they know that there will not be any account or value to the American dollar very, very soon. I don't know when it's going to be. But if you think that the $1 trillion that we owe is going to be repaid, well, you're smoking something. That's why they continue to print it. They're just trying to keep this boat afloat for as long as they can until they get into place this new system, whatever that would mean.
And when they take money, they'll use the COVID virus as the means, the vehicle, brother. It is destroying. When they begin, oh, yeah, the contact, the dirt on money, the viruses on money, which is true. It has a lot of dirt and bacteria on it. That is the vehicle in spreading the COVID. Guess what? We're no longer accepting cash. That'll never happen. Yeah, well, go into the store without a mask on and see how that works for you.
There you go. By the way, I'm going to get these. Hey, Sheldon, I'm going to send you something right now. I got my tinfoil hat on. I'm going to show you something that Tammy gave me. I got to find it. Where is it? Is that it? I think maybe that's it. Yes. I'm going to send this to, how do I do it? Somebody talk a minute.
Hey, Coach, can I get a tinfoil hat? I need one of those, brother.
This was made for me.
Okay, can you get another one?
I'll talk to my buddy. My brain went dead.
No, yeah. I got you, brother. No, yeah. This is what it is. It's the they're going after our kids. You have to pay attention to this stuff. I didn't mention it before. I shouldn't mention it now, but you know about the thing that went on this past weekend. Well, Amazing Polly and other people are writing about it. This is the real deal, people.
There's a lot going on. Vinny, listen. Hey, Sheldon, I just sent Jared something. Pull that up there. I got this idea from JR on JR's show. Guys, wearing masks is totally illegal. You know, they cannot force you to wear a mask. If they ask you to wear a mask, all you got to do is say, I have a medical condition. This is a face mask exempt card. I'm going to get some of these printed up and I'm going to hand them out. Time out. If you want to wear a mask, wear a stinking mask. If you think the mask works, then why do I have to wear one? If your mask protects you, why do I have to wear one? I am exempt from any ordinance requiring face mask usage in public. Wearing a face mask poses a mental and or physical risk to me. And under the Americans with Disability Act, I am not required to disclose my condition to you. Department of Justice ADA violation reporting number. If found in violation of the ADA, you could face steep penalties. Organizations and businesses can be fined up to $75,000 for your first violation and $150,000 for any subsequent violations. Denying access to your business organization will also be reported to the federal for further actions. Face mask exempt card. Cool, huh? Tammy Evans gave me that. David Hawkins is the one who made my tinfoil hat, which I'm going to take off here in a second. Take it off. Okay, something else. Am I all over the place today? Am I doing okay here? Roger, I'm throwing a little bit of Bible in here every once in a while. I'm trying to make us aware to the obvious pandemic shyster game that they're playing on us, folks. People are dying of COVID. Okay, people are. People are.
But not many.
And the reason that we're seeing that more and more people are getting COVID is because more and more people are being tested. And we just found out that down in Florida, they have cheated 100% in one office down in Florida. 100% of everybody they tested had COVID. 100%. So I don't know if you've noticed this or not. They're now showing us that the number of COVID cases is going up. They're scaring us by all the new COVID cases when they used to measure it by COVID deaths. Huh?
This is coming from my wife. Let me tell you how these numbers are escalating quickly. And you're like, and once again, you look around. Okay, who do I know that has it? When you go to one of these drive-through testings and they test you positive, they require you to go to your doctor. When you go to your doctor and you get tested again as a positive, that's considered now two more positive cases in the hospital. When they test somebody and they repeat testing sometimes two and three and four times in 3 days, every single one of them count as a different individual testing as positive.
Because there's something going on.
They're going door to door to test.
That's called the new math.
So Jared or Sheldon, pull up the video, Just a Mask. I saw this one the other day, posted it on Facebook. I thought, boy, you know what I love about, you know what I love about the internet? There are a lot of creative people out there. There are a lot of minds that are racing. There are a lot of eyes that are open. There are a lot of people who get it. They get it more than we even understand. This is 3 minutes and 37 seconds. It's entitled, It's Just a Mask. Go ahead.
It's just a mask, you guys. Don't be a jerk. It's for the greater good. It's just a vaccine, you guys. Don't be a jerk. It's for the greater good. In 4 months, the U.S. was transformed into an obedient socialist country. government dictated what events are acceptable to attend. Violent protests that instill fear are okay. But church services, family funerals, and patriotic celebrations are dangerous. And you bought it without a fight. Standing in a graduation line is a safety hazard. Small businesses were forced to close, but crowds to support the corporate money machine at Walmart, Lowe's, and Home Depot are okay. Come on! It's just a mask and safety precautions. How about a little hush money? Here's $2,400 that we stole out of your paycheck in the first place. Enjoy. Buy something with it from a big corporation. Cash is dirty. We can't give change. There's a coin shortage. Use your card. In 4 months, they convince you to use a traceable card for everything. In less than 4 months, government closed public schools, then restructured education under the guise of public safety. In less than 4 months, our government demonstrated how easily people assimilate to guidelines that have no scientific premise whatsoever when you are fearful. In less than 4 months, our government successfully instilled fear in a majority of the population in America that allows them to control every aspect of your life, including what you eat, where you go, who you see, and your toilet paper. And the most dangerous and terrifying part, people are not afraid of the government who removed their freedom. They're afraid of their neighbors, family, and friends. And they hate those that won't comply. It's absolutely terrifying to me that so many people don't question authority. They are willing to surrender their critical thinking skills and independence. They just give up without thinking, without a fight. Do you know what's coming next? It's just a vaccine. Come on, it's for the greater good. Wait until you're told that you can't enter any store or business without proof of the COVID-19 vaccine. Wait until you can't go to public events or get on a plane without proof receiving the vaccine. Don't think it's possible? Well, you already allowed the government to say when you can go outside, where you're allowed to go, and accepted a new unproven digital education for your kids in the last 100 days. You followed blindly because you were told to do so. You're kidding yourself. You think the mass behavior won't be repeated with a vaccine or whatever the next step is. I don't follow politics. I don't care about that stuff. I don't think about it. 6 million Jewish people were exterminated in Germany because 97% of the population cowered to populist control. Nobody wanted to think about it. It's easier just to ignore it. But that couldn't happen here in America, right? They got you. Without a thought. Without a fight. Just like France. Just like Russia. Just like China. Welcome, comrade.
97% of the population cowered. Whoa. That's powerful, isn't it, folks? Huh?
Amen.
That's powerful, man.
Hey, Coach, to go along with this and what Dale's saying, did you hear about what's happening in Florida? They're forced to retest everyone every 2 weeks in the nursing homes, and they're not turning in the negatives. So they found out that the Florida's numbers all along, they've only turned in the positives.
Mm.
They found in the data that there was no negatives. So they went and looked, and they had turned it in, but the state didn't report the negatives. But it goes beyond that. They're forcing. They did 143,000 tests in one day in Florida. So if they can test that many people, this has never, ever been done. So there is no precedence for these numbers. And everyone, like that mask says, it's just a farce.
Amen.
Hey, Mark, I got a question. I heard that. I also read that they said every time they retest, they do it as another. They add it. It's not like a retest. They add it as another.
It's it. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, Dave, in Fairfield County, in Fairfield County, Ohio, they're starting to go door to door offering the test.
Mm, well, but then you got the other side of the coin. Here in South Carolina, they do not count a new positive test unless the results came back the same day the test was taken. If the results are delayed by a day, the positive or negative result of that test that was delayed by a day is not reported. It's kept track of, but it's not reported. That's so they're stupid. Not... They got 50 states. We got 50 different ways of counting. Yep. It's all screwed up.
That's right.
Yeah. That's right.
And we don't even know what it means to test positive for it. We don't even know what that means, right? They're finding people who are asymptomatic, meaning tested positive, and have no symptoms of it.
I got one that'll make you laugh, Coach. My wife just reminded me. LSU has said for the first 200, how many? 500 students that will come forward to get tested, they're going to get a free, you ready? Wait for it. They'll get free Happy Meals.
You're kidding.
Oh, my goodness.
And they'll stand in line for it, Vinny. People are right now are beyond the delusion, Coach. They want this. They want to be a part of the world. They want it.
See, I've been reading that they're doing testing where someone tests positive, and then they're saying there's 15 up to 28 probable cases associated with that person that's positive that they're counting also.
Yeah, but we don't even know what it means to test positive for.
Well, exactly.
What does that mean, right? And so they're scaring us by that. Okay, real quickly, something else I got to throw on the table because it impacts Mark Trump and the crew. New law in Virginia, Sheldon. A new law in Virginia. Folks, Psalm 2. The kings of this earth are conspiring against the Lord and the anointed. Don't ever forget Genesis 4, seed of the serpent against the seed of the woman, that this battle, that there is an enemy of our soul who's hell-bent on crushing and destroying all things Christian. And it's coming in upon us, inventors of evil things. It's happening under the... Remember, the Lord told us that Satan comes as an angel of light. He always looks like he's coming to help. And unfortunately, which is what Glenn Beck was talking about, the church is buying government intervention and plans and programs as if they were righteous. When the church's job is to stand against many of things, to hold the government accountable. So a new law in Virginia will crush the state's Christians in five horrible ways. This is you, Mark. This is Virginia. Okay, while the country was preoccupied with riots, Virginia passed a sneaky new law. The state plans to declare an open season on Christians who stand up for the Bible. And the new law will have the following five devastating effects on Virginia's believers. On July 1st, a new set of laws and codes went into effect across the state. Since these new laws were merely additions to existing laws, they didn't seem like huge changes. But of course, they're invented of evil. These legal changes focus on sexual orientation and gender identity and purportedly offer widespread protections for the queers. That may sound innocuous, but when those workplaces include churches, ministries, and faith-based organizations, things are getting a little bit... The Alliance for Defending Freedom says the message is clear. Virginia will crush you if you disobey. So, Jared, scroll down a bit, Sheldon, so we can see the five... Hit read more. Click on read more right there. Religious ministries can be sued for refusing to hire homos. That's what the new law... Number two... Religious schools can be sued for requiring students to profess Christianity. So you have a Christian school and you don't want to let non-Christians in. You have no control of who comes into your school. The ability for schools to remain religious is challenged when the law says schools cannot make administrative decisions based on student conduct or their family's religious beliefs. It's protecting the homos. Number three, religious ministries can be forced to ignore biological gender. The new law requires that religious ministries who offer housing to those in crisis allow transgender individuals to have space there as well. Number four, religious individuals in public spaces can be sued for exercising their free speech. People may be forced to refer to customers, employees, and coworkers by pronouns for the opposite sex or even by newly invented. Well, how about that? Inventors of evil. Newly invented pronouns for neither sex. When conformity is the goal of the law, government officials may enforce the law contrary to what the Constitution requires. The free speech consequences of this law are real. Number five. Churches and other religious organizations will be forced to pay for abortions and other anti-biblical healthcare options. Why? Because churches and ministries will no longer be able to buy employee health insurance policies that reflect their religious beliefs. Officials who enacted the Virginia law have revealed that they do not respect our constitutional right to free exercise of our religion. Sincerity and conviction, you can now check those at Virginia's borders. Five consequences of a new law, an invented law, inventors of evil. Five consequences of a new law put into place by the inventors of evil in Virginia. Put that in your pipe and smoke it, Trump.
Straight up subjugation, Coach. That's what it is, subjugation.
Yeah. As you know, there was a time in our country when the government wasn't involved in any way, shape, or form with welfare. You know who created welfare in our country?
Some inventor of evil.
Some churches, some groups calling themselves churches got together and said, instead of each of us doing it individually, let's throw the stuff in a pool and turn it over to the city government of Kansas City and let them handle it. Churches created government welfare.
Evil men crept in unawares and changed the grace of God right into lasciviousness. That's what we're saying. Hey, I didn't mean to be such a bearer of bad news here this morning. I'm just every day I try to keep you apprised of what's going on and apply biblical principles to us so that we can see and understand. And please know this, friends. I don't know where Dwight D. Eisenhower is, and I don't know where George Patton is, but I can tell you this. When they develop a war plan, they don't just come from one direction. They come from many, many different directions. And if we're not smart enough and we're not awake enough, if we're not Christian enough to recognize the deceitfulness and the wickedness and the inventor of evil things that the other side is using, and don't want to tell us. And our fallback position is, sad to say, well, we'll be out of here soon. That's our fallback position. When Jesus said, all power has been given unto me both in heaven and earth, go ye therefore, teach all nations to all I've commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the earth. Occupy till I come. To have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather to expose them, right? That's what we're supposed to do. That's what our Christian faith is, the antibody to this invented evil all around us. We are the virus vaccine. Christianity is the vaccine. And instead, the churches are taking the virus, spreading the virus, buying into the plans of the wicked side. Help me close this out. I've got a couple minutes left.
Coach. Hey, Coach?
Yes.
Yeah, this is I just would like to comment. I find it really appalling, especially that a state that's always been considered conservative, whatever that word means, would have passed such a law as this. I could see it happening in New York, California, Illinois, whatever, but this is especially disturbing when a more conservative state pulls this off.
It isn't conservative, Gary. They went for Hillary.
Yeah.
See, two counties around New York. Yeah, Virginia is just an extension of New York legally now.
That's
sorry,
right.
Larry, go ahead.
Northeastern Virginia, the counties closest to Washington, D.C., are so crowded, so populated, they override the rest of the state.
That's right. So you're getting Washington, D.C. values in Virginia. The Virginians down there in the hills where Trump lives, they're still conservative folk down there. But that's the cultural war that's breaking out in front of us. That's the point Glenn Beck was making. Where's the church? Where is the church? I don't care whether it's the Mormon church, the Christian church, the Catholic church, accepting all of this evil, accepting it all, not resisting it, not fighting against it, not preaching the word, being instant in season and out of season, reproving and rebuking and exhorting with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when men will not endure sound doctrine. And it's happening because the church has withdrawn from the cultural war and has accepted anything and everything that comes down the pike. We are living in the midst of those who are creators of evil things. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.